And a good morning to you. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. The hanging death of Blattonboro, North Carolina teen Lennon Lacey has raised concerns that something is more nefarious and perhaps sinister behind the 17-year-old black teen's death. Was Lacey's death a lynching? Was the hanging death of Thomas Austin in Raleigh, North Carolina, an actual lynching? Could we be on the cusp of a wave of suspicious hanging deaths and killing of black men and teens that harkens back to when lynching was an almost daily occurrence in the Jim Crow South? My guests this morning are here to answer that provocative question. Rosa Garvin is president of the Charlotte chapter of the National Action Network. And of course, the National Action Network is headed up by the Reverend Al Sharpton. Also joining me is Mr. Rodney Moore, State Representative, House District 99. Mr. Moore is currently working on a bill, an anti-discriminatory profiling bill, to be introduced in the state legislature. Folks, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. There is now a sharper focus on Lennon Lacey's death, and of course this is raising some concerns not just in North Carolina, but around the country. The FBI is now reviewing the investigation conducted by local law enforcement. Rosa, talk a little bit about what is happening here with regard to Mr. Lacey's death.
Mr. Lacey's death is an unfortunate death, and it is being looked at by the FBI in reference to the type of hanging that it was. They stated that it was a suicide. And apparently the family feels like it's not. We have spoken to the family in the past in reference to this, and they knew him, and they realized he was not that type of person. And now it's coming out. But the most important thing that that we're here today to talk about, especially with National Action Network, this young man was a teenager, and he was in school. He was a football player. And for this to happen and saying that it was suicide, all the families basically want are answers. I'm going to go with Thomas Austin. He was one of the first calls that we received last year in reference to a hanging. This young man was hung in a small suburb outside of Raleigh, Durham. And he was found hanging from a tree. The only thing he had on was basically his underwear. And the police have deemed that to be a suicide. However, Mr. Thomas's father states that that was not his son's personality, and he was in a neighborhood that he would not normally be in. So there is a question there. All the families want, especially in Mr. Austin's case, is answers besides just brushing it off as if it's a suicide by hanging.
Now, interestingly, Mr. Austin, apparently he called his dad, indicating that he had been robbed, that he had been beaten up. And of course, he was eventually found dead in Fletcher's Park.
That is correct. And he was hanging from a tree there in Fletcher's Park in the middle of a playground. In a remote area of the playground. And that is the major concern in reference to that. He wants answers. All they're asking for is answers. Oh, your son committed suicide, and that's it, and just brushed it away. But this was someone's son. Regardless of someone's past, this is someone's son.
And I want folks to understand that when he called his dad, he was being threatened. In fact, he was going to be killed by his attackers.
Well, they're still trying to muddle through that. But again, his father wants true investigation, true answers, instead of just brushing it under the rug. Oh, this young man hung himself, but with no reason. He didn't have a reason to do that. He was with his father earlier that day.
Now, according to some of the articles that I read on this particular case, he was a troubled teen, but obviously that doesn't justify what happened to him. Talk a little bit about that.
No, it doesn't justify what happened to him. I think everybody deserves to write to know what really happened to this man. At least try to investigate and just pretend like it doesn't exist in our community. We have issues going on throughout the state. I'm not giving any names, but we have an issue right now in North Carolina where a young man went in to a local jail, and he went in with a broken arm because he had an altercation with the police. But in the end, the mother called me and said this young man came out in a body bag. So he hung himself, but he had a broken arm. So the families, all these families are asking for is some type of closure, find out exactly what really happened. I think these folks deserve that. It's just like our lives really don't matter.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Mr. Moore, being on the state legislature, how are folks there responding? What are the responses from the folks who are actually leading our state?
Well, I think that we've kind of been in a vacuum for a little while. And to be quite frank about it, just looking at some of these events that's going around, not only in North Carolina, but around the country, it's a clear indication to me that we still have a long way to go as a society as it deals with race. And that's a very tough conversation to have, especially from where my vantage point. But I think that if we want to show leadership, then we have to have these tough conversations, and we have to begin to start the effort to heal the community in a true way. You know, someone told me that after the election of Barack Obama, that the we had a scab, so to speak, on our racial wounds in this country, and it kind of came off, and you saw that with the advent of the Tea Party and some other extreme things.
Absolutely. And you know, interestingly, conservatives like to suggest that racial tensions have gotten worse under President Obama. Well, have you lifted the veil in terms of determining why that is the case? I mean, even before his election, we've seen some of the most nastiest things said about this man and subsequent his election.
Right.
So, of course, that scab certainly has been lifted up, and folks from around the country are seeing all of this.
Right. And you know, we have to understand the history of America. We have to understand the relationship between the former founding fathers or the former slave owners who basically built their economy off of slave labor in the United States. And there was a disregard for the rights of for the human rights of Africans in this sojourn in this country. And so it's an underbelly of our society. And so we have to do everything that we can to change it, you know. But it's inbred into our very founding of our country.
Absolutely. Now, Rosa, we're going to be bouncing back and forth between what happened with Lennon Lacy as well as Thomas Austin. And one of the interesting things, when you look at the town of Blattenboro, that population, according to the 2010 census, is under 2,000 people. 80% of Blattenboro is white, 17% is black. And I venture to guess that the town council of Blattenboro is probably led by white, and it must be disconcerting for black folks there that their leadership may not be operating from a principal position when it comes to cases like these.
Well, first of all, you have to be able to get out and vote and register. Some of us think that our vote doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
However, your vote does count. You need to make sure that you register to vote. That's the only way that we're going to make changes in our country and in our community and in our state.
And in terms, are there racial tensions there in Blattenboro?
I cannot necessarily comment on that simply because of the fact that I don't know very much about Blattenboro. All I know is this young man was found, and justice needs to prevail in this to find exactly what happened to him.
Go ahead, sir.
Answer that question.
Let me, you know, I'm originally from Wilmington, North Carolina, which is down in that area, Columbus County, Bladen County. And there again, there's always been this long history of tension between races, and there again, as I said before, something that we really need to acknowledge in 2014 that is still a problem. And we need to have constructive conversation and dialogue about how we get past it, how we start to get past it, how this young generation has the opportunity not to keep perpetuating some of these negative biases that all of us carry. You know, Ron, you're from New Jersey, and I mean, it's still the same thing, even up north.
In 2014, we're still grappling with racial issues.
Absolutely. And so I haven't been to Blattenboro in quite some time, but I'm sure because of the racial composition that there's still a body of tension. With people who feel disenfranchised, and then others who want to maintain the status quo to their advantage. So, I'm sure there's some racial tension going on there and other parts of rural North Carolina, simply because the economy has changed.
Folks are angry.
Folks are upset because there's very sparse opportunities for economic advance.
And we are always the scapegoat for people's anger, and I just find that fascinating. And when you read our history, we're always being blamed, and then of course no one wants to take responsibilities for the violence that ultimately follows. That I want to read a little piece coming actually from the Charlotte Post, from Claudia Lacey, the mother of Lennon Lacey. When I saw him, I just knew automatically he didn't do that to himself. If he was going to harm himself, his demeanor would have changed. His whole routine, everything, his attitude, everything would have changed. She last saw the youngest of her four sons alive in the middle linebacker prepared for a high school football game by putting together his uniform in the early hours of the day that he died. It does not sound as if this kid was preparing to kill himself.
That is correct. When I spoke with the family, there was an issue with a family member that had just passed away. So there was no depression. He handled it very well. And there was no sign of this young man committing suicide. Of course, we are in this environment and racial tensions are high. But everyone thought that this was over with. But it's not. It's coming more forthright into our communities. And for folks to sit there and think that this does not happen, this has not happened in North Carolina, this has happened in my world, it still is. This is very real. This is just a few of the cases that we receive for National Action Network North Carolina, our crisis cases. We get cases all the time, and it's disheartening. It brings tears to your eyes when we share it with others about what's going on in our state. It's unfortunate, but a lot of these questions, people are still trying to sweep it under the rug, and that's where the problem comes in. I'm just thinking about the comment that, actually the quote that Martin Luther King made 50 years ago, and while he was in the Birmingham jail, it was saying injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and that is going across the state. It's an eerie feeling of what's happening in America today.
Mr. Moore, do you think that we perhaps as a community continue to see the civil rights movement, you know, existing only in the black and white footage that we're used to seeing, as opposed to being a reality here in 2014?
Well, I think that we're continually fighting for our civil and human rights here in America, but I think the broader perspective is that we have to, we look at the 60s and we look at the marches, and those were effective, and they're still effective to some particular point today, but there are other strategies that we have to start to use that they used back then. We have to talk about economic boycotts, you know, we have to talk about changing policy and changing legislation so that we can ensure that African Americans and Latinos and others, all people, have these rights availed to them. And right now it's just a strain, and it's a struggle. You know, I heard somebody say it's almost like a dinosaur that got trapped in the tar pit. and the dinosaur is fighting for survival. But you know, eventually these things, because of the way that culture is changing and society is changing, these things will eventually die out. But it's just we have to be diligent, still have to be work to bring those changes about, and hopefully it will happen in my lifetime. But I'm sure that, you know, we'll get there and be a colorblind society at some point.
Yeah. Now, Rosa, one of the things that really sparked the civil rights movement, of course, was the death of Emmett Till. And of course, you know the history and story behind that. Now, as I understand it, Mr. Lacey, and I keep calling him Mr. when in fact he was a kid, I understand that he was dating a 31-year-old white woman. Can you elaborate on that?
He was dating a white woman, and his parents' mother did not necessarily agree with that. But he continued on. So, again, we go back to racism in the South. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was that a problem? Did he hang himself? Family says, no, he did not. So why can't they give the family, find out who did this to this young man?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's all different types of things that's coming out about this.
Now, interestingly, he was found with his feet was 2 inches off the ground. His sneakers apparently were two size too small for his feet. And apparently he left that night to go for his run in preparation for the next day's football game, that he had some Air Jordans on, I believe it was. And that, of course, it does not suggest or doesn't indicate that this kid actually was in the process of wanting to kill himself. All of this sounds strange in the middle of a trailer park. Now, I don't want to suggest anything about trailer parks, but I do understand that that trailer park is probably 99% white.
That's true. There needs to be some type of answer. Somebody had to see something somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Because why would you have on shoes that's two sizes too small? That would be painful, especially if you're trying to run.
Yeah.
His family knew what he wore when he left out of the house. They mm-hmm. were expecting him to come back. He did not show back up.
Yeah.
And then you get a phone call that your son is hanging. It's disheartening. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And how many others have this happened to that did not come to the media with it? And
right.
just let whatever the police department say or an investigator say, well, this is what happened, and they go with it.
Yeah.
What about those families?
Yeah, and it's very difficult and, again, disheartening for African Americans because we do know the history of lynchings in this country. And, again, Mr. Moore, when you think about it from a legislation standpoint, you have folks like Ida B. Wells. Is there an Ida B. Wells who is going to actually demand that this kind of nonsense does not happen again in this country? Will you be that Ida B. Wells?
Well, I certainly can't. I certainly don't see myself as an Ida B. Wells, but I have proposed and I will file a bill in February mm-hmm. that talks about, we go to a different subject now, it talks about the prohibiting discriminatory practices and profiling yeah. as it relates to law enforcement officials. If you look at some of the incidents around the country with the incident, of course, with Ferguson, Michael Brown,
yeah.
Incident here with Jonathan Farrell and others, just countless incidents around the country, there is a disconnect. There's been a historical disconnect and tension between African-Americans and communities of color
yeah.
and with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do now, we're trying to get ahead of the curve, put these particular reforms in place so that we won't have a Ferguson. You know, Ron, we're only an incident away.
That's exactly right.
From having Ferguson in Charlotte or Wilmington, North Carolina, or Bladenboro, or anywhere else in our fair state.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be serious and we need to show leadership about having this conversation, because I've talked to young people across the state and I'm telling you, they are not standing. They are like the child, like the children were in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
They are upset. They're fed up. And so we need to find a way to fuel that passion
in
a positive way. And so that we can help them achieve their goals. But also we need to, us as elected officials, and especially black elected officials.
Now, there is growing pressure for police departments all over the country to equip their officers with body cams. In fact, Los Angeles, they are actually making it a reality for every law enforcement. Louisiana is doing something. Is that going to be enough?
Well, it's good to have the body cameras, but there again, you have to see, the question comes is, okay, you have the body cameras, but how will the body camera video be accessible to the public?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that bill as well, I have a provision to strengthen citizen review boards across the state to give them subpoena power, investigatory power, and other things so that we can begin to have a total transparency between the processes of the police and how the public looks at those facts.
Now, what about extricating the local prosecutor from the process in terms of investigating police and bringing in special prosecutors. I know that there's a clarion call for that around the country. Talk a little bit about that and how that relates to what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, in North Carolina, we're kind of, the statute in North Carolina says that power is vested in the district attorney. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, fortunately, we have a pretty good district attorney here in Mecklenburg County, but it would be something where if that situation got out of hand here in North Carolina, then we would have to look at a legislative fix to try to compel another type of situation, another type of method for that to happen.
But wouldn't it behoove all of us to engage that process now so that it does not happen again? Part of the reason why there's so much protest around the country again is because of the grand jury process. So is there an effort to head off the potential for that to happen here in Charlotte and around North Carolina?
Well, we're having those conversations now. Hadn't seen it come into any type of fruition with proposed legislation, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that those are conversations that we'll be having going forward. And you may see some type of legislative proposal to that effect.
Yeah. Now, Rosa, you are intimately involved in tragic cases like Lennon Lacy and Thomas Austin. I know that there is some emotional turmoil that you have to grapple with. I mean, you are fielding calls from parents and family members. In this instance, a son was perhaps lynched. How are you dealing as the president of the local National Action Network, having to deal with all of the emotional turmoil that comes with these kinds of situations? How are you dealing with all of this?
Well, at the end of the day, it's a lot of prayer. That the group that's handling that, we have our crisis director, which is Lucille Puckett. She also fills a lot of phone calls. And the only thing that we can do at the end of the day when we receive phone calls like that is just simply, you just got to pray, because what else can we do? We notify folks, try to help them through the process. And at the end of the day, it's nothing that we could do. Someone's lost a son. Yeah. I'll never forget, I received a phone call about a young man that was tased, and this young man ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. They called me at 12 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, I received a phone call, and the family member was on the phone crying.
Yeah.
And it was nothing that we could do to console them. It was nothing that we could do to bring that person back. Regardless of the circumstances, these are humans.
Yeah.
These are people. We're not asking for special treatment. If someone's done something wrong, we're asking for justice, to make sure that it's fair, but not where you're abused, not to the point where you're treated as if you're nothing. Mm-hmm. This is what we want for our people. Fairness, fair justice.
Yeah. Yes. Has Reverend Sharpton expressed an interest in coming to North Carolina to look at these cases?
I can't really go into that at
mm-hmm.
the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Representative Moore, what do you want your fellow legislators to do with regard to this issue as well as racial profiling? I think that our elected officials are responsible to have a much more robust response when it comes to issues like these.
Well, I hesitate to be critical of my fellow legislators, but one of the creeds that I follow for myself is that I have been given a great opportunity, and I've given the people of my district and the state of North Carolina has given me a trust to go to the Capitol and advocate for their issues and to be their standard bearer. And so I would hope that all of my colleagues feel the same way.
Right.
And that we can get ahead of this particular issue. Mm-hmm. There again, let me be very clear. We're at a tipping point right now in North Carolina as far as frustration with on the streets and injustice that they see in our court system. So we need to begin the effort to reform as quickly as possible.
Right, Rose, we have about 15 seconds left. What do you want the residents of North Carolina and these small towns, what do you want them to do?
I want their voices definitely to be heard, but most importantly, I would like for them to make sure their voices are heard at the ballot boxes. That is so important. You can sit there and think that your vote doesn't matter, but it does at the end of the day. This is the only way that the bills can be created so we can make differences in our community. And the fact that we as a community, we've got to hold each other accountable, and we've got to be there for each other at the end of the day.
Right. Thank you so much, Rosa. Thank you, Mr. Moore, for coming on and talking about these very important issues. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with your host, Ron Holland. We'll be back in a moment.
And welcome back to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. I want to again thank State Representative Rodney Moore of House District 99 and Rosa Garvin, President of the Charlotte Chapter of the National Action Network, for coming on to talk about these very important issues. We're going to keep a close eye on the latest developments in both the Thomas Austin and Lenny Lacey hanging deaths. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.